Today we're going to start with the book of Jonah. We're going to start reading with verse 1 of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let's cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now we believe this is historic. Some people have said, well, it's just a parable or an allegory or something like this. But the Lord Jesus referred to this. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so I'm going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I'm going to be buried, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. So he referred to this incident. Jonah. What do we know about Jonah? Well, we know about when he lived, because in 2 Kings 14, it points out to us who was the king at that time. It was Jeroboam, and we know his dates. So we put the dates of Jonah about 796 to 753. And he was from the northern kingdom. Now, Assyria was a country that was very cruel. It was sort of like the Germany of under Hitler. It was a very cruel, militaristic nation. They were devastating the countries around them and conquering, and they were utterly ruthless. They were known as being the most ruthless people in the whole area. When they conquered a nation, they just put thousands of them to death. They would even surround their cities with the heads of their victims And so it was a very cruel, wicked nation. God comes to Jonah and he says, Jonah, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. It's a great city. It's the capital city of this nation of Assyria. I want you to go there and cry out against them. Their wickedness has come up before me. Go with a message of judgment. Preach to this city. This great city of the capital of your enemies, really. And you go there and preach against their sin. This is the message of God to the prophet. Now the prophet turns out to be rebellious. He's supposed to be a preacher. He's a servant of the Lord. In fact, he says in verse 9, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So, he is a prophet, he's a preacher, he is one who believes in the Lord, and yet here I've called him a rebel prophet, a rebel preacher. You think, well, that's a contradiction in terms. Here's someone who's to go and proclaim to other people, you need to accept the Lord, you need to follow the Lord, you need to obey the Lord, and he himself is a rebel. He says, I'm not going to do what you say. And we ask the question, can a believer rebel at times? And he was a believer, no doubt about that. He says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. But here was a time of rebellion in his life. And earlier we were listening to a message about David and how David rebelled. And how David, a man of God, got away from the Lord and got to a point where he deliberately broke the commandments of God. Now, this doesn't happen, I don't think, all at once. There's a time when you're drifting away and when you maybe you're not noticing the Word of God, spending time with the Word of God, and the fear of the Lord becomes less in your heart and in your thinking. And that happened to David, and you remember the whole sad story of how he fell into sin and brought terrible suffering upon himself, upon his family, upon the family of Uriah the Hittite, and disgrace to the people of God. He caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. God's enemies ridiculed the name of the Lord because of David and his conduct, and they're still doing it today. Tragic what a believer can fall into if he gets away from the Lord. And this happened here now in Jonah's case. Now he's told to go and proclaim judgment. Many times the prophets were called on to do this. And in fact today when we go and we bring the message of God to people, first of all we bring to them a message of judgment. The gospel includes judgment. We have to emphasize that. Now, people don't want to hear about this. They'd like to just hear that God loves you, God loves everyone, and we're all going to go to heaven, and everything's going to be lovely and wonderful, because God is kind, and God would never punish anyone. And for many people, hell, if you mention hell, they'd say, oh, God would never do that. We don't believe in a hell. But the Bible teaches it, and Jesus taught it. It was a very strong part of his teaching. And so as we go to the sinner, we have to bring to them a message of judgment. And Jonah was told, you go to Nineveh and you preach judgment. You tell this wicked nation, this wicked city, you're going to suffer the wrath of God. And so Jonah had a heavy message to carry. And today, you know, really in a sense, as we go, we carry the same message. We go to sinners. And remember Jesus in Mark 1:15, it says, when he began preaching, he preached, repent, believe in the gospel. So that we too, as we go to sinners, we have to tell them in honesty, you know, you need to be saved because there is judgment, there is punishment. If you go on in your sin, you will be judged for your sin. You will not get away with sin, not with God. So that was the message Jonah was supposed to take. Now, He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. He said, in effect, I don't want to go to that city. I don't want to preach. We don't know all his reasons. Later on, he says, the reason I didn't want to go is I thought you're not going to punish him anyway. Because you're so kind and you're so compassionate, it won't work. And so he ran away from God. And it's interesting to say he arose to flee from the presence of the Lord. And any time we start drifting away from God, leaving his presence, we're on the road that's going to lead us down. And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. He went down to Joppa, the port on the coast. And then when he gets into the ship, he goes down into the lowest part of the ship. It's just as if he's trying somehow to get away from anyone saying anything to him about God or about his responsibility or anything else. He was running from the Lord. Now, it's interesting, too. It says that he paid the fare. And any time you're running from the Lord, it's going to be costly for you. It is going to cost you. And this cost Jonah. It cost him money. He had to pay to go to Tarshish. And, you know, you can kind of deceive yourself. I don't know what Jonah was thinking. He wasn't thinking right. He was thinking, somehow I can get away from God. I can get away from my responsibility. And yet he himself here acknowledges in verse 8 or 9, he says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. I know he's here. Just leaving the land of Israel, the land of Palestine, is not going to get me away from the Lord. And we as Christians, if we start to run away from the Lord, if we start to avoid his commandments to us, it's going to be very, very costly for us. You think of David and the tremendous cost, the heartbreaking cost to David. We see people today, and if you are a Christian and you're running from God, if you're avoiding his discipline, why, it's going to be very costly. And let me say, too, for those who are not Christians, you can't run away from God. You can't get away from God. Many times we think if we move, if we get away, we're going to avoid the word of the Lord. I think of the prodigal son, as he's spoken of, who wanted to get away from his home. He wanted to just get away from his father. He wanted to get away from the admonition, from the instruction, from any responsibility, from any accountability. He says, I want to get away. Let me leave. And this can be so common with young people, especially, and older people as well, that want to somehow get away from the word of the Lord and from accountability to him. You can't do it. If you aren't saved, you can't get away from the Lord. And the Lord is going to follow you, and he's going to be speaking to you. Now, Jonah knows discipline. And I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Jonah is a child of God, and he's running. He's doing what he isn't supposed to do. He's refusing to bow to what the Lord has to say to him. The Lord says, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. Jonah says, I don't want to do it. I'm leaving. And in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start reading here with some of these verses that deal with discipline. Verse 4 says, you've not yet resisted the blood, striving against sin. You've forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, said you're illegitimate, not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless afterward. It yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Chastening, discipline. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you become a child of God, you come under his authority, under his care, and he's concerned for you, deeply concerned for you and for me. And he won't allow you to get away with things you used to do as an unbeliever. He simply will not allow you to get away with those things anymore. He says, you're my child, and I expect better things of my children than that. I won't let you go back to that old way of living. If you've had a drinking problem, the Lord's going to say to you, no, I don't want you going back to that. You're my child now. You're carrying my name, and I want you to be a credit to me. So, discipline. Now, we can be thankful for that. At the time, he says, it's not joyful. It's grievous. If you have to spank your children when they're little, it's kind of painful. It needs to be painful. That's the whole purpose of it. So they realize what they've done is wrong, but it's also painful for us because it saddens us to think that we have to discipline our children. And it saddens the heart of God if we as his children do things where he finally says, look, I'm going to have to discipline you. I'm going to have to come down heavy on you. You're not paying attention to me. I'm going to have to discipline you harshly to wake you up. And of course, this is what happened to David. David stood by the graveside of his boy, year old, and he wept. And wept and wept before the child died, crying out to God and saying, oh God, spare the child. The prophet said to him, David, you're forgiven, but the boy's going to die. You're going to bury your boy because of your sin. So sin is very costly, and chastening is very, very difficult. 1 Corinthians 11, he says to the church, you know, there's some among you that are dead. They have died because of sin. And there's some who are sick. They're sick because of sin. So the Lord can use different things to discipline us. Now, he wants to train us through his word. He wants to teach us through his word. He doesn't want to have to be that harsh with us. But if we don't listen, then he has to be harsher. And this is what happened with Jonah. Jonah wasn't listening. God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach. I've got a job for you to do. Jonah says, goodbye, Lord, I'm leaving. And he heads for Joppa, and he goes down into the ship, and he's heading off for Tarshish, which was probably off in the area of Spain. He was trying to get as far away from Jerusalem and Israel as he could, and from God. God says, Jonah, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to let you. And as a result, he sends this terrible storm. God sends things into our lives to wake us up. I can remember years ago we lived in Tulsa for a while, a woman there saying to me, she said, you know, I was away from the Lord. I was saved earlier, but I got away from the Lord and I became sick. She ended up finally having to have a lung removed, and she said, I knew when it happened. I knew when I had the surgery, God is disciplining me. God is saying to me, it's time to come back to me. Quit running. And she said, I lost a lung. I had that surgery, and I know it was the hand of God waking me up. And she came back to the Lord and lived the rest of her lives for God. But he uses different things. And if we're so persistent and so rebellious, God may even take us home. Now, there was a fellow named David who some years ago came here. He was saved in jail, and David showed signs of life. I believe David was really saved. Now, when about the time he was released from the halfway house and got out, his wife said to him, "I no longer love you. I'm in love with your younger brother." And David was devastated. Now, he'd been a drinker. Been a real problem of his. And when this happened, he was furiously angry. I think if he hadn't been saved, he would have killed his brother. He was a very, very angry, frustrated man. He said to me, "The only way I've known how to handle problems is drink." And he went back to drink. But it was devastating in his life. And the end result of it was he was killed in an accident on the highway, drunk as far as I know. And God was saying, "David, I can't leave you on this earth any longer. You're not a credit to me. I'm going to take you home. And I believe I'll see him in heaven. I believe he's there. I believe he trusted the Lord Jesus." But he went through that time of such rebellion and defiance. And God says, "I've had enough. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. I'm taking you home." And that's the ultimate discipline. That's the final discipline for a child of God. How sad. How sad. Well, Jonah here has the storm and even has the rebuke of the heathen. I think this must have hurt him. When they said to him, "What have you done? Why have you done this?" they said in verse 10. The men knew he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. He said, "I know you're having trouble. I know the storm is hitting us because I'm running from God. He told me to do something. I don't want to do it, and I'm leaving. And that's why you're having the storm." And they said, "Well, why have you done this? This is crazy. You can't run away from God. And here we're all in danger of losing our lives. A terrible storm at sea. And you know, you feel very, very helpless. And these were small ships. And in a storm, it's a frightening thing. Fearfully frightening. Are we all going to be lost? Are we all going to perish? What's going to happen?" And so he said to them, "Well, the only way to settle this is throw me into the ocean." He says, "Pick me up, heave me over the side, because I'm the source of your trouble. And if you get rid of me, you'll get rid of the trouble." They said, "Well, we don't want to do that." And so they rowed hard. They tried. They cried out to their gods. And the storm continued. It got worse and worse. Finally, in desperation, they cried out to the Lord. Now they're praying to Jonah's God, to Jehovah. And they said, "We pray, O Lord, don't let us perish for this man's life. Don't charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." And they picked up Jonah and heaved him over the side. And the storm ceased. The wind stopped. And the sea became calm. And you can imagine the tremendous sense of awe that came over these men. And he realized Jonah's God really is the true God. Look what's been happening. And it says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. Jonah is cast into the sea. Now, as far as Jonah was concerned, I think he really became, as he was being thrown over the side, I think he thought, "This is the end. I'm going to die. No way I'm going to get out of this. I've disobeyed the Lord. I've endangered the lives of these other men. And I'm going to die as a result of my disobedience. And this can happen. It's the ultimate discipline." If Jonah had died there, he drowned in the sea, we'd say, "Well, that's the result of disobeying God and running from God." But the Lord had other plans for him. And it says, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. And we don't know what kind of fish this was. Whales can swallow people. fact, they've captured whales at times, and they've found the bodies of people that have been swallowed by whales. But now, this was a special one. This wasn't an ordinary fish. And this was one, it says, who was prepared by the Lord. So I don't know what kind of accommodations he prepared for him. I really am not sure how the belly of the whale was, but it was designed in such a way, and the Lord had made the provision, that this would be a training school for Jonah, but it wouldn't take his life. He was going to live yet. And the Lord prepared that fish. And it was there. You know, what's interesting is you go through the book of Jonah. Jonah's the rebel. And he's the one giving God a bad time. All of creation is obedient. The storm was obedient. God said to the winds, I want a storm down there. Stir that sea up. Because I'm dealing with Jonah. And the fish was obedient. God communicated that fish, you know, they're going to throw Jonah overboard, and I want you to be there, open your mouth wide, because he's coming in. So the fish was obedient. Later on, the fish is going to vomit him up. When God says it's time for Jonah to come out, it happens. All the way through, you see all of creation obeying, and here's this man, this prophet, who was stubborn and rebellious. It's kind of amazing that out of all of creation, man is the one that is rebellious against the Lord. We have a cat. That cat's very submissive to what the Lord wants to do. It's programmed, it functions instinctively, and it's doing what the Lord wants it to do, basically. But man can be so rebellious. So Jonah is now in the belly of the whale. And amazing, this next chapter now, we're going to look at this too. It tells us about what goes on in his thinking. God can't force Jonah to do anything. Now, that's kind of the amazing thing. God can make the storm do certain things. He can make the fish do what he wants. But here's this one man, and God cannot make him do what he wants him to do. Jonah has to choose to do it. God honors our choice. He honors our will. And Jonah here has been defying. He says, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm leaving. Goes down to Joppa, gets in the ship, goes off to sea. And as far as we can see, even when they throw him into the sea, he's still saying, in his heart, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to preach to Nineveh. He's still a rebel as far as you can tell. But now while he's in the belly of the fish, he begins to think. God begins to work in his thinking. And his thinking changes. And we're going to read chapter 2 of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you brought me up. Brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you from your holy into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake your own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What an amazing story. But here he is, the prophet now is in the belly of the great fish. We don't know if he was semi-conscious or just all that was happening. Must have been a terrible experience. And Jonah had no assurance of what this was the end. He speaks of his being cast into the deep and out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of the grave itself, the afterlife. Jonah thought he was really finished. But while he's there, it says his soul fainted within him, and then he remembered the Lord. Remembered the Lord. And he began thinking about the Lord that he'd been running from. And he began to pray to him and cry out to the Lord. And he says, my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. So the Lord here, through this experience now, is dealing with Jonah. There's a prospect of death, and Jonah is repenting. He remembers the Lord. And he makes this promise. He says, I will sacrifice to you. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In a sense, Jonah in this case now is giving himself afresh to the Lord. He's rededicating himself to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, I've been running from you. I'm through running from you. I'm coming to you. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. And it was a time of rededication to the Lord and to whatever he had for him. Now, distress oftentimes brings remembrance. In Luke 15, it tells about the prodigal son. He wanted to get away from the father. He wanted to get away from any restrictions, any laws. He wanted to do his own thing. And when he's been in the far country for a while and his money runs out and he's working, finally taking care of pigs, feeding pigs, which for a Jew was the very bottom. That was the pits, to be feeding pigs when you weren't supposed to eat pork. You would have nothing to do with them. And then it says he came to himself and he began to think. And this is what happened to Jonah. He came to himself, he began to think, and he realized, I've been a fool in my rebellion, and I'm going to turn back to the Lord. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So God can use these things, these difficult times in our life, to wake us up and to bring us back to himself. And then Jonah was in a wonderful way delivered. Interesting to see how promptly the fish obeys. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The prophet disobedient. Now he's willing to be obedient, and the Lord says to the fish, all right, up chuck Jonah, and he did. And Jonah came out on the dry land. Quite a harrowing experience. I imagine he wanted to get a bath right off and get cleaned up and get a good meal. And I think when he got on land too, I think he praised the Lord. And he said, Lord, I've been a fool. I'm willing to go. Just tell me again and I'll go. And his whole attitude changed on that. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And we're going to look at that in the future. But you know, as we close, I just would like to encourage us to think about where we are with God. If you've been running from the Lord at all, maybe something in your life where you feel, well, I know God wants me to do this, but you're not willing. If there's some area where you've been drifting away, it'd be good even this morning to say, Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to renew my dedication to you. I want to be submissive. I don't want to be a rebel, even though I'm a believer. I don't want to fall into rebellion. I did that as an unbeliever. Now I want to be submissive. I want to do your will. Wonderful thing to have that spirit of submission. And maybe if you're not saved, you need to think about how foolish it is to try to run from God, to avoid God, to get away from God. You can't get away from Him. What you need to do is turn to Him in real repentance and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and then know the peace and the joy that He can give. Let's pray in closing. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for the lessons of Jonah. We think of how stubborn and rebellious we are by nature. How proud we can be. How determined to have our own will. And how we can bring such ruin into our lives as we go our way. And we do thank You for that time for many of us when we heard the gospel and when we accepted the Lord Jesus and we just told You we were tired of our rebellion and we wanted to submit and we wanted to be saved. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here this morning who's never made that decision, that they might really turn to You. For those of us who are Christians, keep us from rebelling in any way. Keep us from trying to run from You. Help us to be submissive. Help us to give ourselves afresh to You, even as Jonah did in that fish's belly, and have a willing spirit to have Your will in our life. We thank You again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. For all that You mean to us, we give our thanks. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of our Savior.